Hey, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine best-selling author, and you're listening to The Ask Patricia Show.
I feel a cold flush going through my hair, and hey, you know what? I don't even care, the time has passed me by. It's gone with the wind, it's all because the sun shined once again. Now the party's on, everybody's there. Even if you don't know anyone, you still make some new friends. That's the way it is. When I have myself a drink, call me, cause the sun shined once again. Let the sun shine, let the sun shine, baby. Because the sun shined once again. So play that sweet tune, play it through the air and the volume. Raise it up, don't you ask me twice. You know I'm gonna get all because the sun shined once again. So get the sunshine, let the sun shine.
Let the sun shine, and I hope the sun is shining in your life. Thanks for joining me on the Ask Patricia Show. Thank you for joining in. Let me just take a quick moment and just thank all of you for listening in all around the world. I can see you out there in Jamaica, Dominica, Scotland, South Korea, USA, Canada, Iran. It's so nice to have an international listenership. Well, today we're looking at parenting and parenting our sons in particular. And to help us do so, I've got my guest today, life skills mentor Paul Lawrence, who's based right here in London. Paul, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all your listeners worldwide. Yeah, I'm well.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, listen, before we get into our topic of discussion, can you just share with us a little bit about your work as a life skills trainer and mentor? What's involved?
Okay, the majority of my work is not necessarily in actual mentoring, but it's mostly in the training of mentors.
Right.
And working with other people, whether it be parents or carers, who actually do work with young people,
mm-hmm.
with a specific focus to young boys, because I'm also a member of the 100 Black Men of London,
yes,
who have a direct focus on young boys.
Yes.
So it's really about, you know, looking at the processes and the techniques and what we can do,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to parenting young people,
right.
You know, in 2014.
Yeah, exactly. Now, is most of your work done face-to-face, or is there any online engagement, so to speak?
Yeah, the variety of the stuff is done on a face-to-face basis.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, well, just last weekend, I was doing a program for foster carers.
All right.
Who obviously they foster young people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did for them was I delivered for them my mentor training course.
Right.
Because they understand very clearly that the skills used as a good mentor,
mm-hmm.
are absolutely transferable into what they do as foster carers. And we've done similar deliveries to a variety of organizations and individuals.
Right.
We've done it for churches, for example.
Okay.
Who want to set up their own mentoring team,
mm-hmm.
within their congregation.
Yes.
We've done it for youth groups, you name it. We've worked with a lot of groups.
Oh, right. So it's right across the board. Let me ask you, how did you yourself get into this type of work?
Well, I guess I wouldn't say by chance, but, you know, 19 years ago,
yes,
I had a son.
Right, okay.
And I was very, very aware of the fact that, one, I had no manual, you know, it's very commonly said.
Mm-hmm.
I had no manual by yes. which to reference to bring my son up.
Yes.
But more importantly, I was faced with the situation I was bringing my son up in what I consider to be a foreign country, where I wasn't necessarily the prime person in their minds when they were developing the rules around growing up young black men.
All right.
And, you know, I guess it was good fortune I bumped into a gentleman who at the time was setting up the 100 Black Men.
Yes.
And the prime of the things he wanted to put in place was a good, solid, robust mentoring scheme for young people.
Mm-hmm.
That got me involved in young people's mentoring. But yes. along the years,
yes.
There was development of a program which I really found very useful, which was a parenting program.
Yes, yes.
And the parenting program was not as instructional as, mm-hmm. for example, the mentoring program may be towards young people.
Right.
But certainly what it was about sharing best practice.
Right.
And for me, it was a godsend. It was a godsend to sit down with other parents,
yes.
all at different phases of their mentoring journey,
yes.
and share information. Not necessarily tell people how to parent,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
to share experiences and to share best practice,
right.
and allow people to pull, you know, sense from nonsense, really.
Yeah, exactly. Have you found that people have been quite hungry for the information you provide? There seems to be a bit of a vacuum. As you say, there isn't a book, is there?
I think it's a bit of a quandary when it comes to especially parenting.
Yeah.
And the sort of advice around parenting. I think no one wants to admit that they're bad parents.
No, you know, not really.
No one's willing to put their hand up and say, you know what, I'm actually failing. So what you find is that though the need, and you know, we can only but base this upon results.
Right, yes.
The results tell us that there's a need for a wider discussion on parenting, specifically parenting within the context of 2014 in the UK.
Yes.
There's an obvious need for it.
Yes.
However, very, very often, the parents who come forward,
mm-hmm.
they only come forward, the majority of them,
yes.
after incidents.
Right, something's happened.
Yes, mm-hmm. after something has gone wrong.
Yes.
So what you don't often get, you do get it from time to time, but what you don't often get is what I would call preventative.
Mm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
people who are stepping up on a preventative basis.
Yes, yes, yeah. Are there themes that keep reoccurring then, Paul?
Say that again, sorry?
Are there themes that are recurrent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm. You know, anybody who's been involved either with young people or with parents themselves will have a certain recurring theme. And I think for most young people, it's a sudden change of interest in academics.
All right, okay.
It's a sudden rise in challenging behaviour at home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And probably new on the charts for those parents who are willing to admit it is a very early sexualisation
of our
young people. That's been very, very new.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, very much across the board. And that sexualization one is pretty new and growing.
But the thing is with that, although you say it's new, I do remember you know, maybe even 10, 15 years ago, certain political parties having their own agendas and wanting to bring in certain types of sex education in school at a very young age. So I think it started in different ways for some time.
Absolutely, but I think that the powers that be have sort of missed the point when it comes to sexual education. The education that they for 9 times out of 10 seem to want to put in place is about the physical and the mechanics of sexual activity.
Yes.
But there's very little conversation taking place for our young people about the things that they are experiencing.
Right.
And we're not just talking about the purely physical, we're talking about their attitudes towards sex.
Right.
What we're finding in the sexualization is that the mechanics of sex is neither here nor there, but it's their attitude.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's about now self-value, self-worth.
I love that,
Self-esteem, how do they feel about themselves from a sexual point of view.
So,
a young girl, what a young girl will now do and not even consider it sexual activity.
I know.
you know,
yes.
they're not being educated on that sort of side.
Yeah, that's
you
really
know, they're
true.
Being told the normal things about,
yes.
well, you know, contraception,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, diseases and so on.
That's right.
But that's not all they need.
It's not
now.
Enough, is
they
it?
Need to know that sex is not just about the possibility of pregnancy,
yes.
not just about the possibility of disease,
yes.
but it's also about the possibility of the loss of reputation,
mm-hmm.
especially for our young ladies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I was just thinking, as you were speaking about things that people do, particularly our girls, and not even feel it's particularly sexual, or attitudes that they have. Now, people are saying that there's such a rise in the access or the availability of porn. You know, you could be on the computer doing your homework and something just pops up. So you're not particularly looking for it, but it's kind of coming to them all the time. I mean, that must affect the way they look at each other, definitely, surely.
Absolutely. But
yeah.
this is why the programs need to be multifold, because...
Yeah.
You can't stop young people from seeking out stuff. That's,
precisely.
That's the nature of the game. Sure,
true.
We can always blame the internet companies and say
yeah.
stuff is going to pop up. But you know
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Human nature is human nature.
Right.
Kids will look for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
what we don't also have are parents who are on the ball,
mm-hmm.
who understand the dangers of giving a 14, 15-year-old, a
yes.
12-year-old even,
yes.
an iPhone, which is fully
yes.
internet-capable,
definitely.
Which has all, absolutely all the same skills
yes.
as a full-blown laptop.
It's all
so
there.
Parents don't get it. And sometimes when we're talking to parents and
mm-hmm.
we're saying, you know, these are the sort of things you need to do to protect your children from porn, from
yes.
sexualization, from
yes.
sexual predators,
yes.
you should see their eyes. Their eyes just pop open.
Oh, wow. Goodness.
Because they're thinking, but, you know, I just gave him a phone so he can do WhatsApp. You know?
Yeah, you're not thinking that far. I mean, I did primarily reach out to you, Paul, because I did notice a comment you put out on social media that parents need to re-educate their boys in particular about sex, not just the mechanics, but the politics. Let's talk for a few moments about those politics. Tell me what's informing that opinion.
Well, I think, you know, among myself and my friends, things have certainly changed.
Mm.
So, you know, when we reflect upon when we were growing up as teenagers and, you know, what we saw as normal behavior when
mm.
it came to young ladies and to the interfaces,
yes.
things have changed.
Yes.
And so our boys, especially
mm-hmm.
our boys, they need to be re-educated
right.
on certain very, very basic things.
Basic stuff.
You know,
yeah.
once upon a time, and,
yeah.
you know, I say this, and I don't have to lie.
Okay.
You know, when you met a young lady and,
yeah.
you know, you dated for a little while
yes.
and you asked her the question.
Yes,
and
yes.
she said no.
Mm-hmm.
In your head, you sort of thought, well, I need to try a little bit harder.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
let me work a little bit harder for
yes.
the yes.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying now is the times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that that behavior
right.
is no longer acceptable.
Right.
What the reality is that when a young lady says no,
mm-hmm.
it is quite simply a no.
Mm-hmm.
There is no room for wiggle. There's no room for maneuver.
Right.
There's no try harder. There's no she didn't hear me right.
Okay.
It
okay.
is simply a no.
It's a no.
And that our young men need to, on two levels, understand and accept that.
Right, right.
Yep.
Yes.
And without that sort of information, young men will continue to challenge those no's
mm-hmm.
and put both themselves and their prospective partners in a very bad situation.
Right. Now, are you saying that primarily because sometimes it's a yes, but under duress, and in the morning when the lady is a bit more come to herself, she decides to make an accusation, which may or may not be based in truth. Are you protecting the men in that way? Is that what concerns you?
I'm protecting everybody concerned.
Mm.
Because, yes, absolutely, there's a certain range of protecting the men, but also it's about protecting the women.
Right.
Women need to know
mm-hmm.
that their no's will be respected.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
And they need to know that it's not an uphill battle.
Right.
You know, that the young gentleman is respectful and
okay.
that he will hear the no as
yeah.
a no.
Yeah.
So it's twofold.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely twofold. And
yeah.
and by the way, this is nothing new.
Okay.
This
okay.
is nothing new. You know,
right.
There are certain U.S. colleges who have made it very, very mandatory
mm-hmm.
that whether we like it or not,
mm-hmm.
no yeses need to be confirmed.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, it sounds
oh,
trivial and
yeah.
it sounds, oh, boy, how mechanical.
Yeah, definitely.
But the reality of the matter is what those colleges and universities realize
mm-hmm.
is that they were having growing numbers of young people
right.
whose careers whose futures have been devastated.
Right.
And I'm not just talking about the men, both the men and the women.
You know,
because the woman, she falls foul to, well, the last girl who said no meant yes.
That's so true, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is about making sure that the message is very, very clear that it is not anybody's job to change someone's mind, to reconvince them.
Oh, right. I like
no
that.
No means no. And it always means no. It doesn't mean anything different.
Yeah. But you know what, Paul, from the ladies' point of view, there seems to be a lot of pressure from the girls to sleep with the guys just to make sure that he's going to stay with them, because he could go with somebody else who will sleep with him. And so there's a lot of pressure there.
And this is where conversations with our young ladies about self-esteem and self-worth come into play.
Okay.
You know, if a young man hinges his entire relationship on you, on you saying, actually, no, let's wait, let's defer. If a young man hinges his entire, then he's not the one for you. And this is the conversation that our young people need to understand.
Yeah.
Our young people, both the men and the women, because the boys need to understand that they're not doing themselves any favours by creating this blackmail situation.
That's true.
Because what it actually means, let's go down the road.
Yeah.
Let's go down the road of she is convinced to sleep with you because you were going to leave her.
Right.
That's not the reason for her to be with you.
Yeah, so true.
That's based upon fear. And as a man, that's not the relationship you want to embark upon.
Yes.
So that's just the male side. And from the lady's point of view, she must not feel coerced.
Right, yes.
This is love. Relationships are one of these things that must be done from a point of view of mutual willingness.
Is there still that sort of old-fashioned respect among men, Paul, where the more women a man seems to have, he gets that respect?
You know what? I've got to say, that's never been a real thing.
Really?
I think that's male bravado.
Okay, all right.
I've always thought that's male bravado.
Okay.
You know, men posture that way.
All right.
But the reality of the matter, you ask any man what he would want for his daughter.
Yes, yeah, good question.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you start to get the real answer.
Mm.
Sure, you know, with their mates down the pub or down the club.
Yes.
That's the way it is. But you take any single man aside and say to him, what would you want for your daughter?
The
answer changes.
Yeah, so true. So is it just then, Paul, coming towards the end, is it just then a question of men maturing in a way and looking at life differently?
I think there's a certain amount that needs to take place.
Yeah.
I think men have to realize very, very, very rapidly that one of the things is that times are different.
Right.
You know, and the nature of the situation is that it's not just a guy thing.
Okay.
You know, you're pulling her leg.
Right.
It's not just that. Now you're putting yourself in actual danger.
Right.
This is not just that she might cry and weep and say you're a horrible person, but it's not put her the day later.
That's right.
You know, that's just one level. Mm. We're now at a different level.
Yes.
But also, if you remember, part of the reason why I wrote that piece was actually to do with that young man from Sheffield Wednesday who was found guilty of rape and protested his innocence.
This is it.
And the aspects of alcohol. Our young people have so much more access to alcohol now than ever before.
Yes.
And we haven't upgraded our protocols.
Yes, right.
To take on board the changing context in which our young people are getting together.
Yes.
And the bottom line is, when a young lady has a drink, that's an automatic no.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, and young men need to be thinking that way. You know, so it's about protecting both groups.
Yes, yeah. Finally, Paul, I want to ask you something. It's not quite the same. It's slightly related. But I did note another comment you made in social media. You seem to be exhibiting a little bit of despair as to what to tell your young son how to behave himself, you know, in the light of the Ferguson case. And I'm suspecting that, you know, many of us as black parents feel something similar.
It's a difficult one, and it struck me before I wrote the comment that, you know, I've spent years working with young people, especially young boys. I have a son. My son's 19.
Right.
And I spent years telling him, you know, if you do this, you stay out of trouble.
Precisely.
Do this to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, that's
right. Do that to stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 2-3 years,
yes,
what we have noticed,
right,
is that there is nothing our young people can do to stay out of trouble,
this
except for,
yes,
don't be black.
Oh my gosh.
And it, for me, for someone who prides myself on being able to mold young lives and minds, it is devastating to wake up and look at a young person in the eye and he said to me, look, but Paul, I wasn't in a bad area.
This is it.
I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Yes, yes.
I'm not in a gang.
Mm.
I do well at school. I don't talk back to adults.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'm in this situation.
That's right.
The bottom line is, it is a difficult world out there. And that comment you saw was born out of pure frustration.
Yes. Yes,
just frustration I no longer know how to protect my son.
What's the answer? I mean, the thing is, I'm married. I've got 3 boys, but they're not boys now. They're all big men between 19 and 26. But it came to me that I live in a completely different world to my husband. I really didn't realise it. As a black woman, my world's a little bit different. My husband has been stopped so many times just for walking along the street, for various reasons by the police. My all 3 sons, they've all had exactly the same experience. But me, as a black woman, I've never been stopped once at all. And it's like, am I in a different world because I'm black too? Is it just being black and male?
I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but evidence speaks for itself.
All right.
And the evidence states very, very clearly that there is something about black males.
Yes.
Which causes certain elements of the security forces to automatically see us as a problem.
Mm.
Now it's just evidence based.
Yes,
you know we can speculate all we want.
That's true.
You know, we can talk about how many more times likely a black man is likely to be stopped than a white man.
Exactly.
We can reel off those statistics as much as we want.
Mm-hmm.
We can reel off statistics to say why black men are stopped. The reality is that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is there must be a reason, and it must be connected with how that specific group is seen by the people in authority.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right there. It looks like our time has pretty much run out, but it's been great talking to you. Now, people listening to you, Paul, and wanting to know more about what you do, and perhaps wanting some training for themselves or some coaching or how to even educate their young sons, can you tell our listeners where to find you?
Easiest way to find me is if you're on Facebook, you could dial up good old Paul Lawrence.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Or you could try engagetraining.org.uk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, and that's the main website where we provide, you know, a bit of information on the training stuff we do.
Yes.
And offer people, you know, access to our training courses.
All right, that's fantastic. All right then, Paul, listen, thanks for taking time out of your day to speak to us on the show. Really appreciate it, and you take care.
Thank you, you're very welcome, and have a good weekend.
All right, bye-bye, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that was the fantastic Paul Lawrence there, and I do hope you'll take a note of his details and follow through. Great conversation. It's been the Ask Patricia Show, and I'm here next week for more. Take care. I'll see you then.